Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. During the first service, we began to examine, as we do at the end of each year like this, we've been doing it for quite some years, looking at the local church and reinforcing the importance of understanding it and also walking in the light of God's word as touching the local church. So we began to look at that, examine it, study it, investigate it during the first service. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. And we examined a couple of things in the first service about discipleship. Discipleship, I told you, means to be trained, right? And to be trained to do the ministry of Jesus, to serve like Jesus, to walk in the light like Jesus, you know, in the light of Jesus. And we said discipleship is done by teaching, Matthew 28 verse 20, where you are instructed. And I also mentioned to you that the gospel is like a curriculum, okay? A curriculum that you begin to study and you begin to practice and walk in the light of it. The gospel is not what you just hear when you are saved and then that's all to it. The gospel is a lifelong venture for us. We study the details of it, begin to walk in the light of it, and we take it like a curriculum. Like I mentioned, like the church is like a school where you start to study courses, subjects. And all the subjects and courses are found in the gospel. I said that all in the first service. So let's proceed further. I would say that the place of discipleship is in the midst of brethren. You cannot be discipled by Jesus on your own. Say, who are you following? Jesus Christ. Where is he? He's in my bedroom. No, there's no scripture for that. There's nothing in the scripture that leads us to think that way. That discipleship is done in the midst of men. And I mentioned to you that the discipleship word is used for an eyewitness account, something you know by observation. When you see people learning, practicing, and then doing things together, what you have are disciples. Or some versions will have it as followers or adherents. Or, you know, just followers, adherents, people that stick to things, teachings, examples, and so on and so forth. And that's what we have, you know, in God's word for us as the culture of Christianity. And I said that God always uses men. He used men in the Old Testament to prophesy about Jesus. And he came to save man as a man. And when he rose again, he gave the entire message to men who are to disciple men, to teach men. So the way God instructs us, the way he corrects us, the way he rebukes us, is through these men whom he has placed around us. And that happens in the local church. And I mentioned it to us also in the first service. The local church is not an entertainment ground. It's not where you come and things go your way. No. The local church is just like school, where you are impacted, and then you are transformed by teaching and examples, instructions, corrections, exhortations, inspiration, and encouragement. All of them come together. It's not just a place where you are always encouraged. It's also a place where you are also inspired, but also a place where you are cautioned, rebuked, instructed, disciplined. It's all together. That's why Paul will say to Timothy, I charge you before God and Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick at his own appearance. 2 Timothy 4:1. Preach the word. Be instant in season out of season. Rebuke, reprove. With all long-suffering, doctrine, and patience, for the time will come when they will no longer endure sound doctrine, but they will have itching ears. Hip-hop teachers after their own lust. And he says, for such men, he says, they turn from the truth unto fables. So that happens, you know, and the church is where, the local church, the assembly of saints, is where you receive stability, continuity, and consistency. The church is never referred to as an individual. I mentioned that to you. The church is always used for a collective body. Don't say, I don't go to church, I am the church. If I knock your head, how are you the church? In what way are you the church? The word church is assemble. Are you an assembly? How can you be an assembly? That means you are possessed. You can't be the church. Ecclesia is an assembly. You can't be an assembly. An assembly refers to saints coming together. In the book of Acts, where we have the pattern, the word church is used strictly for assemblies. Whereas in the epistles, it's used for both assemblies and our union with God in Christ. So in real life practice and practicability, church, it refers to our assembling together. And it is not a function of numbers. I don't use the phrase mushroom churches. I think it's an insult upon the work of the Holy Spirit to call something mushroom churches. Neither do I even use small churches, except when I have to make a reference that is necessary. I'm very careful to call something small and something big, because whatever God has done is big. Hallelujah. Wherever God is working is big. So I don't use such human nomenclature, because there's nowhere the Bible tells us which is a large church or a small one. I think it's just a carnal way of seeing things. Yes, we have large numbers of believers gathering in a place, but we should be careful in using such worldly terms. We are not commercial institutions. We are not banks. We are not food joints. Right? We walk and live by the Spirit of God, and so our phrases must be carefully used. Okay, so we said that the church is where this happens. Spiritual growth is ministered in churches. God's rebuke, God's correction is in churches. And I mentioned something in the first session. I'm going to reiterate a bit more. That every epistle, because the epistles are for spiritual growth. I mean, someone said we live in the epistles. I understand that. But read all the epistles. All the epistles were written to churches or individuals about churches. All the epistles. Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians. Ephesians is the one I mentioned earlier. It was a general letter to churches. But later on it was adopted by Ephesus. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Then where you have 1st and 2nd Timothy was written to Timothy about the church in Ephesus. Then you have Titus also, Crete, church in Crete. There you have Philemon, was in Colossae, and the leadership or servanthood of Colossae was addressed in that letter. Then you also have Hebrews, also the church is in mind, Hebrews 13:17. He says, submit yourself to those who are over you in the Lord, that is the church. James is also to churches, all right? James 5:14, the elders of the church. 1 Peter 5, those who are elders amongst you. 1 John, 2 John and 3 John had in mind leaders as well. To the elect lady, 3 John, to the elder Gaius as well, and all the mentioned elders also in the three letters. You have the book of Revelation, 7 letters to 7 churches, Revelation 2 and 3. And you also have Jude to churches. So you discover that there is no such personal walk with God, as we say. There's personal walk with God, no doubt, but the letters were written to assemblies of saints, which shows you that spiritual growth follows that instruction in the assemblies of saints. You cannot have spiritual growth outside the assemblies of saints. I said in the first service that the church is God's idea. It's not man's idea. Sometimes people can go to an exchange. I remember somebody was trying to speak down on the church because of the bad experiences they've had. You know, people have been maybe maltreated, mistreated, manipulated, and all of that. So they started speaking against assemblies of saints. And I approached the man and said, well, I get your point. But abuse is not an excuse for what? Neglect. You cannot say because people have done something wrong, then whatever they have tried to do wrong is right altogether. That is a sin. You can't afford to think that way. People have used prayer wrongly, but we pray. People have falsified miracles, but we see miracles. Hallelujah. People have sung songs that are not biblical songs. We call them God, but we still sing it. But let's get to the natural. People have fake doctors, fake lawyers, but you still approach them. People have, you know, so the fact that people are doing things wrongly does not invalidate the biblical fact of it. The church, the assemblies of saints, is God's wisdom. It's not something somebody just thought up in his head. No. It's not at our convenience or conveniences. So we said that in the first service. Therefore, the church is where this is ministered, and so on and so forth. And Jesus, therefore, by the pattern of Matthew 28, Luke 24, Matthew 28, 18 to 20, Luke 24, 47 to 49, Mark 16, 15 to 20, and John 20, 20 to 23 already shows you a pattern. In fact, if you look at John 21, verse 15, verse 17 and 18, I suppose, yeah, where Jesus says to Timothy, I'm sorry, to Peter, I heard it's going fast, because I want to go to 1 Timothy 3:15. Where he says to Peter, lovest thou me more than this, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my flock. And he says that to him. You discover that he set a pattern that he will always put men in charge of believers. That from the pattern of the closing words of Jesus in the four Gospels, and what he said to Peter exclusively, it shows that he will always put us under people that will look over our spiritual growth. And that follows the way the epistles were equally written. And I've always said it, when you see a Christian who has no local assembly, be very careful. Our Christian who does not believe in it, even though he attends or she attends, be extremely careful. A believer is called a believer because he's found among believers. People say because you go to church doesn't make you a Christian. And because you are in a car does not make you a garage or a car park, doesn't make you a car. Those nice, nice quotes. But the fact remains that believers go to church. Believers go to church. Okay? So, believers must go to church. They must attend believers' meetings and be found there regularly. And we said also in the first service, I was quoting two people, a man by the name of Paul Washer, I don't really know him well. Maybe I should mention this. You know, sometimes I have the reason to quote people because of certain things they have said. It doesn't in any way endorse any other thing the person has said. It's just when I found things that are useful, godly, I refer to it. But some people are very curious and then they get into trouble. I'm going to get into that a little bit more. Now, the man said that, later I buy this denounced him. I just said this to clear that. The man said, don't go to a church that is nearest to you. Go to the one that is nearest to the Bible. And I told you in the first service, you don't take up an appointment because it's just near your house. Take up a job because it's, you know, because it helps the gospel. Because it pays you well. It takes care of your bills. You know, someone says, it's not our job that feeds us. I've heard you. But make sure you get a job that feeds you. You get a job. You know, when it comes to school, some of us even traveled out of our states to go to university. Some people leave the country. You know, even when it comes to the best medical help, people, you know, go across the ocean. But when it comes to the local church, they can be so flimsy and frivolous about it. You know, and so the choice of the local church is important to your spiritual growth. I dare say that when you stand before Jesus, as we say, and you are going to be judged, the choice of your local church will go a long way in how you are going to be judged. Because you must have been influenced, positively or negatively, you know, to serve Jesus and do it appropriately. So all that we said in the first service. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Paul says that thou mayest know how you ought to behave in the house of God, the church of the living God, which is the pillar and ground of truth. Now, a fundamental element of a local assembly. I remember years ago, it was Samuel. Now I can call your name because I didn't used to call your name, but you knew it was you. They formed this BlackBerry group. You remember my story now? You know what I'm talking about? So I used to say this, but I never mentioned the person. But I think he's free from the blood of all men now. And they formed this BlackBerry group. He said they were going to be... Okay, you said you were going to study together and all those nice, nice things. Sit down. Not everybody knows you officially, but they know you anyway. You blow, you are like Baja here, so they know you. Or is it fella you want? So they now say, and ask him a question. He says, lovely. He said, who is in charge? That was the question. He said, we are just friends. I said, anything that has no head is a monster. Somebody must be in charge. You know? Say, we are all just friends. There's nothing like that in the Bible. Somebody must be in charge. And so, a critical element of a local assembly of believers is that there are people who are in charge of men. And they are given responsibilities. For example, you see in Romans 12, If you have charismatic ministry, I taught this extensively there, and also our last series on Paul's identification. That when Paul was mentioning the gifts that differs, Romans 12 verse 5 and 6, he now mentioned those who are leaders. In other words, he was talking to leadership, who are leaders. He uses the word egomai, Romans 12, when it says present the body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, Romans 12 and verse 8 now says, he that exhorts, he that rules with diligence. Rules there is in charge of others. Who is in charge of others? In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 12. Every letter always recognizes those who are in leadership. 5 and 12. Can we take it together? 1 Thessalonians 5 and 12. Let's go. I will beseech you. I'm waiting for you. Let's go. I will beseech you, brethren. Let's take it again. To know them that labor among you and are over in the Lord and admonish you. 13. To esteem them very highly in love and be at peace. So notice something. The first thing is recognize. In any local assembly, know those who are over you. They are friends, associates, and I told you in the first service, I will get there in a moment. You know those who are over you, who give you instructions. He says you must know them, recognize them. Recognize people who are over you, who admonish you. 13 now says, esteem them very highly for their work's sake. And when that happens, there is peace amongst us. Look at the opposite of that. Verse 14. We exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. That means there will be those. Now, look at the word unruly. Look at what he said earlier in 12. Those who are over you in the Lord. That is those who have the rule over you. So, we also have brethren who are unruly. When they do things, they don't give account to anybody. So, I'm traveling out of Lagos for 2 weeks. Did you tell Pastor and so? God is my father. Those are unruly brethren. He says, warn those kind of people. Because they are the people that create dissension in the churches. They have their own mind. They have their own mind about things, their own sense of judgment and all that. The world can clap for you, but that's not biblical Christian living. Oh, you want to ask a lady out to marry you or to whatever you want to do. And say, the lady asks you, have you told, should I tell anybody? No. This is between you and I. No, sir. No. Pastors don't choose for you who to marry. That's not part of their job. But you must give account about what you want to do in such instances. That's just biblical. But there are those who are unruly. They are without that. Say, warn them. They cause disorder in the assembly of the saints. They'll claim it's brainwashing, it's manipulation. They'll say nice grammar, but they're not talking the Bible. And when they say it, they go on Facebook. Hey, come and see what I'm saying, you know. I think recently it was a pastor of a church said that people should go and see a marriage committee before they get married. And somebody now put it on Twitter. People are saying, are we still serving Jesus or serving men? And not one person mention God's word. It was just, that's nonsense. There's freedom, everybody. This is what we are saying. Religion has destroyed Africa. Religion has destroyed Nigeria. Abba. 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 Are you sure you are born again? The world is not the word of God. Your feelings is not the word of God. There are things that are right in the world. Even right to you, they are not right in God's word. And there are things that are wrong in the world, but they are right in God's word. Always realize that. Realize that all the time. Who are over you in the Lord. Ephesians 4:11, it gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith, to know the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness in Christ, that we henceforth be no more babes tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, slight cunning carried on men by the lying way to deceive. Ephesians 4, verse 11 to verse 14. So we always have that. There are men that function in these Christ offices to bring us to the place of maturity. Colossians 1, 27, Paul says, Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. Colossians 1, 27. Whom we preach, alright, Colossians 1:27. Whom we preach, Paul, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. A man does this. In Hebrews 13:17, let's go there together. Hebrews 13:17. And I want to read it very loud. Are you in church? Hebrews 13:17. If you are there, say amen. Let's take it together. Let's go. Now, take it. Come on, let's go. Obey them. And submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For example, did he say obey every minister in the body of Christ? Huh? Obey them that are over you. Now turn to your neighbor and read this verse in the person's ears. Say, brother or sister, obey them that are over you, or obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Ask the person, do you know the day? Look at how many days is it? Them. They. It's emphatic. There's a them. There's a they. There's a they. A person who is in a local assembly and well taught does not allow social media to influence his life negatively. He doesn't take instructions from Facebook. He doesn't use Twitter for spiritual growth. Primarily, he has a place where he's been fed the word. He's been admonished, and they are watching over his soul. God's word cannot change because the world is changing. Did you hear what I said? 1 Peter 5. So, a peculiar trait of the local assembly, even James 5, says if you are sick, call for the elders of the assembly. So you must be in an assembly. It's not a WhatsApp group. I don't know what a member of Saints Community Church is doing in a WhatsApp group. What's he doing there? So you are learning the word. Which word? From which book of the Bible? That shows that you are an unstable being. That's what it means. There is a they. There is a them. If they create that group for you, good for you. There is a they. There is a them. This is God's word. 1 Peter 5. Are you there? 1 Peter 5. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that should be revealed. Verse 2, feed the flock of God that is among you. See this. This is how God feeds you. By using the men that he has put over you. So, a unique trait of the local church are men who are responsible for your spiritual growth. Spiritual growth, therefore, is ministered to you in this church. or in the churches. Hallelujah. Now, let me address this before I get back to the Corinthian experience. Now, there are people who have had bad experiences, and I get to interact with them once in a while. Maybe they're in a church and they've had bad experiences there, and so they form their opinion of the church or their theology of the church from their experiences. You see, no matter how you say it, justifying what you believe based on your experience cannot be God's word. And that's why here, and let me just mention this for your sake. And I believe your leaders might not say it directly to you, but I'm going to tell you. You see, when you join Saints Community Church, from wherever place you come from, we do not interact with you based on where you came from. We don't want to know. We are not bothered about what used to happen there. Oftentimes I tell people, you are here now. Face what we are doing here. If you try to badmouth where you came from and stuff like that, you may not have it all go well with us. And it goes both ways. If you are also an apostle general of the body of Christ, and you get here, we're going to only deal with you based on what we know about you, and what we know about you will start from the day you joined. So you will drop your apostolic office at the gate. Keep it with the security man. And when you are leaving, you can pick it up. You attend membership classes. You attend the zonal meetings. That is what we recognize. We don't have oversight over another ministry. So we are not in charge of what they do there. What we do is here. So I'm trying to tell you that what you say to your leaders, sometimes they will just blacklist you. This person is a talkative. Talk about God's word. Now, don't misquote my word blacklist. I just mean they will look at you as somebody who is not so serious. Never let your experiences form your theology. No matter where you come from. Some people are very careful. You know, yeah, that's how I went to one church like that. You know, and this happened to me, that happened to me. That is your experience. And you have to learn to let go of it. Because the local church is God's word. It's God's idea. No matter the experiences some of us, matter of fact, you have to put it behind you. Just like sin, remember it no more. Hallelujah. That said, we began to look at the different incidences that can happen in churches. And I showed you the Corinthian model in the first service. And I said, from the first chapter to the 15th chapter, Paul was dealing with various opinions in the same church. And I asked you, why do you think it was so? We have a series on this already, Matters in Corinth, but let me highlight it. It was because they were having multiple influences. And we saw that in verse 10 to 12, where it says that you should be of one mind, of one speech, of one sense of judgment. So that if somebody comes to you and asks you a question, and say, what do you think about fasting? And then you say, fasting is for this purpose. Then he leaves you and says, let me have somebody else. And he walks up to him, saying, what do you think about fasting? He gives you the same, why are you all thinking alike? What's this nonsense? Can't I have a range of opinion? Then what I say the same thing, this is rubbish. That's actually the local church. One sense of judgment. Are you there? Paul says that you say the same thing I showed you in the first service. That there will be no divisions. Schisma in the Greek, which I said was used 8 times and 3 times. 3 times in Corinth. 3 times. No other epistle did Paul use the word division. But that church. In verse 11, it says, for I hear from the house of Chloe that there are contentions among you. Eris, the word contentions, I said is used 9 times. And just in this church, 3 times. And why was it so? Because verse 12, for some say I am of Paul. Others say I am Apollos. Some say I am of Cephas. Some will say I am of Christ. Variety of opinions. rather than feeding the word on the word that they are being taught and schooled on. Some people have multiple influences. Oftentimes when I have a course to travel and I'm preaching and people ask me questions, I ask them, I was not the one that taught it. I'm not responsible for that. I'm not the one that told you to go and hear it. I'm not going to ask somebody else's question for him. I didn't teach that. And I do that because some of us are just plain curious. Now, a couple of years ago, you know, I used to use a laptop. So, that laptop, oftentimes when I have to, you know, use anything on the internet, it's always on it. So there was this website of a certain minister or preacher that I opened that day. And I opened it just for the purpose of, we had actually been to the guys' meetings, myself and some of the pastors, you know. And in fact, when we went there, and some of the pastors who were with me, began to question what the guy was saying. And I said to them, I know he's not exactly doctrinally well, but let's just encourage him to the point where he will come to fuller light. So I opened to his site, and these curious church members came to my house that day, and they just saw the site. So I quickly wrote it down. Now I know where pastor is living from. I'm not joking. It happened in Saints Community Church. And by the time they went, they now crossed over there. They now started saying, the gifts of the Spirit are past. Started speaking, you know, terrible, thinking myself and the person believed and lied. Yet we did not. Because I preach for someone, doesn't mean we believe and lie. I preach for white garment churches. Do you go and wear white garments? It's so important. You know, there was a preacher I was talking. This is, I'm telling you as your pastor. Many times, when I commend people on social media, I've never listened to them before. There's someone I told, I said, I've never heard you before. I just believe the best about you. I said, the first time I heard you was a 2 minute clip. And I said, what is this? But I'd already believed the best. Because even the Bible says he counted us faithful. But when you are curious, you jump into conclusions. I said, I've never heard you before. In fact, there was someone who put my name in a book he wrote. And he said, everything I know today, I learned from him. He wrote a book. He even made me come for the book launch. After a year, I eventually took the book. He gave him copies of it. I said, eh? What is this? But my name was already there. I, Paul. What can I do to these things? Nothing. Praise the Lord. Who are the people that you should recognize? Your pastors. Hallelujah. Those are the people I know. So I've never heard it before. So they went, they took the material. In fact, there was another brother. Someone seized a book from a disciple. The book was an agnostic material, but had a scripture as the title of the book. He seized the book, brought it to my house. I passed to imagine this person read this. Okay, how can this person read this? I saw it. So he put it in the sitting room. A brother just saw it. Wow. And he took the book away. Today he doesn't go to church. That is a Corinthian problem. We have made up our minds here, just like Paul. We are not going to hold back anything that is profitable unto you. Whatever we have not taught you, it means you don't need it. It's just as simple as that. Look at how painstaking we take over the years, year upon year, taking you through the journey of knowing Jesus. We're not in a hurry, not in a rush. Then you should trust your local assembly. Hallelujah. There should be no fear. no concern, no agitation in your heart. You have checked the Bible. What we have taught you is true.
Hallelujah.
Is there? So you have the Corinthian model. And Paul, and I told you in the first service, people often stop with what he said in verse 12 and 13. They don't read verse 4, chapter 4, verse 14. I warn you as my sons. You have thousands of instructors. You don't have many fathers. He says, follow me. Chapter 11, verse 11. Verse 1, sorry. Follow me as I follow Christ. It was very explicit. Don't become a curious person.
Hallelujah.
See all the books we have given you to read. Which one have you finished? Which one will you finish?
Hallelujah.
I was telling the pastor, I said, we are going to work on Charismatic Ministry Volume 3 next year. He looked at me and said, are you joking? I said, I'm not joking.
There's enough for you to study. Enough for you to learn and ask questions with.
But the Corinthian model now brought divisions. From chapter 1 to 15, Paul was dealing with divisions. Even when it came to things of the Spirit. Paul would say, when somebody has a tongue and it appears, you keep quiet. But the guy had gone to the internet and said, the way God flows, he will give three people tongues and it appears at the same time. He said, So when pastor says, praise the Lord, can we have you? Someone just said, Makotala! What's going on? Sorry, sir, you're not the only man of God. There are people like that. We have taught you that clapping is not praise and worship. We have a book on it that can even convince the devil. He said, but that man of God, this is where you are. And you have not seen it. Look at our books. There's no single book of ours that we have written our own experiences there. Trust that. Who said that to you? Who said to us, to you here, that everybody here is not Christian worship? You can do it in parties, for gyms, but not in the worship of God. We have taught you from the word. You think I don't like the everybody? I like the everybody, oh. But my experience cannot become the word of God. We have taught you that. The importance of you. Someone say, I like that church. You don't make evangelism stressful like we do it here. They allow us to do love feasts, bring people, try to persuade them. Maybe a year after, they will love Jesus. And for this one, they just say, go out. Go out and meet people in the sun, in the rain. It's too difficult. How can Christianity be that way? No problem. You have options. Kephas, Apollos, even Christ. Is that an option? Kephasine? Is that what I said? Is it Kephasine I said? Apolline? Christocentric. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 12 and 13. So the Corinthian model will be that brother or sister in the church whose influence is not the pastor or the leaders, is someone else outside. And you cannot allow. When Paul discovered that in Corinth, you know what he told them? He said, some say among you that there is no resurrection from the dead. When Paul was done convincing them, they now said, evil communication, verse 33, corrupt good manners. Do not be deceived. What is he saying? Avoid such people. Evil, he was talking about what some people were preaching in the same local assembly. He said, it corrupts good manners. He said, avoid them. 1 Corinthians 15:33. We also have the Colossians example. Colossae was a different place. Two things. Number one, Paul had never been there before he wrote this letter. And history has it, he never got there at all. And Colossae has Paul also warning Christians there. And you see the reason we have a teaching on this already, the book of Colossians, I believe you should have listened to. Colossians chapter 2.
and verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. To beguile you with enticing words. He wants them not to be beguiled. With enticing words. In verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. The word beware is the word blepo or blepite. B-L-E-P-T-E. It means be aware. That is, be on the alert. Be on the alert. The word beguile equally means to make you do something else. The word paralogizomai, same word that James will use in James 1:22. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. To act beside the word. So he says, you be careful. Verse 8, lest any man spoil you through vain philosophy, philosophia in the Greek, or the word vain kines, empty. Doesn't have Christ in it. After the traditions of men. Vain deceit, apate, A-P-A-T-S. Paradoxes, traditions of men, things that some people have gotten used to. He says in verse 8 again, rudiments of the world, not after Christ. It was stochio, elementary rudiments of the world. Some people's doctrine is just worldliness having scriptures to back it up. And scriptures that are many times, 100% of the time actually, quoted out of context. He wants them again in Colossae. Watch. In Colossians 2 again and verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat and drink. Then in verse 18. Let no man beguile you. Different word. The word here means to disqualify you. The Greek word kata bria behuo. K-A-T-A-B-R-A-B-E-U-O. K-A-T-A-B-R-A-B-E-U-O. It means to disqualify or to give judgment against. Why is this all coming up in Colossae? Because there are multiple sources of knowledge. People were not just studying the scriptures anymore. I know, for example, a pastor once told me that if you want to understand how to run a church, watch the Godfather series. Understand the mafia. He told me that. And I found out that there were also pastors who were reading the laws of power. Is it 48 laws of power? They were reading it in how to run churches. In fact, there's a Bible school is one of their curriculum. An art of war. So, such people, no matter how nice they sound, and how much of the things they say, Christ has done it, Christ has done it, he has done it as a mafia. Christocentric Godfatherism. Act of war by the Spirit. That's, they have a syncretized knowledge. Taking worldly principles with Bible. Pastor Kumu, you used to call it then, religious modernizer. Taking the things of the world and the things of the kingdom of God and trying to make sense out of it together. Paul says, I warn you. And some of those things look nice because whether you like it or not, what you learned in school is from the world. And what you read in the press is from the world. So imagine, you know, you come to church and you're just hearing Christ did it, Colossians, Genesis, Galatians, Exodus, they even go to Ezra, Micah. Ah, then somebody just say something that you had read in the newspapers, you had Googled before, and say, you know, I say, practical. That's practical. We must be able to apply these principles. Well, you discover that the example of this application is an unbeliever. So, syncretism had entered Colossae. They were not satisfied with teaching series. Not satisfied with books of the Bible. So, what are we studying again? Pastor said Joshua. Joshua. Judges.
roots. They do series. They now does introduction. 4 days. On top roots. I'm only prophesying for you. Hope you are following my point. On top roots. Then he has said, hallelujah. 6 principles to attain the new you. Warren Buffett once said, exactly. That you know, I always something, when you perceive from afar and you conceive from within and you can get the bridge there, then you are there. The first step often is shaky. The second one is stable. But there's something about the third step. Syncretism has entered your soul. You are not holding all things by Jesus. They are lovely things. Lovely things. Lovely things. You know, I had this friend, he's passed on now, I talk about this often. He was such an orator. An excellent one. Such an orator that, you know, one day, in my secondary school, he was a year ahead of me, so he was the deputy head of school. You know, my school is not like all those other schools, so we don't use head boy or those, no. It's head of school. Just put that somewhere, it's in 2 Corinthians 4. And so there was this school that was fighting our own colleagues, as the students of my school. So the principal said, I know who to send. I'll send them to the other school. So go let you go for us. Everybody had confidence in him. He went to a school that was, they were already angry. 5 minutes. They were clapping for him. I said, hi, yeah. It's not Bible, though. 5 minutes. He knew philosophical quotes, a lot of things like that. So one time, he contested for election. TISA and UI, that's Technological Something Students Association. He won. He came in very late. He got the form the last day, and he won. When he talks, yeah. So, you know, things like that, you like it. But that is not the preaching of the gospel. So that's practical. A preacher of the gospel can be humorous, make a lot of jokes, and as he's joking, unbelief is entering your soul. It's true. Yeah. The word is going farther from you. So you must be focused on Christ. So Colossae had been infected with syncretized knowledge. They were not staying with Christ alone, who is the head of all principality, who is the image of the invisible God, in whom is all wisdom, the treasure of wisdom and knowledge, Colossians 1 and 2. They were now looking for other things. That is why a church pulpit can be so free, and people can come there and be comfortable. You know, nobody can be easily comfortable here. He says the first thing you are looking at him. The second one, the third one. Somebody went to a meeting one time, and he accused myself of another preacher of not letting people accept his ministry. I said, what did we do? He said, as I was preaching, nobody was cheering him. He said, even both of you were just looking. He said, particularly Pastor Chris was just taking notes. I was wondering, what is he writing? But I was taking notes, though. Sincerely, I was taking notes. The truth is that congregation were already well taught. You don't come there and say those things. When you get home, continue. Not here. A guy told a friend of mine, he said, he has never invited me to preach for him. Then a friend told him, he's saving you from disgrace. He's only saving you from disgrace. Hallelujah. And that's the truth. A friend of mine came to our ministry in 96, I think, Sekia. We had this meeting. I think it was Glory Seminar. No. Glory of God Seminar or something. So, Everybody had thoughts. And usually I don't teach in those meetings. All my friends would teach. So he used to believe he was an evangelist, that he didn't have to study. So come and say something. We gave him 45 minutes. He started talking. Nobody was responding well. So hallelujah. Get up on your feet, everybody. Glory, glory. The glory of God is here. The glory of God. So he now sang one song. We want to see your glory. He now sang it alone. Was embarrassed. Lord, we welcome you into the... Even the keyboard stopped playing. No, the brother's name is Sheundogo. He just stopped playing. He was wondering. Have you ever read that and said, what's going on? Lord, we welcome you into... So they stopped. He said, Jesus appeared to me. He gave me three keys. Three keys. I know what I'm saying. Number one, tithe. Everybody start laughing. Number two, worship. Number three, prayer. They laugh more. I'm going to count three. After count three, take yourself, step into the glory. He was the only one that said that glory. So I just came up to him. I think I sang one song. I forgot the song I sang. And I bailed him out. So when we got to our house, I said, easy your life. But he preaches in other places. And they celebrate him. I said, not here. Not here. Not here. No, not here. So, Colossae had been introduced to syncretism. Paul says, beware. And so we have such brethren too that have been syncretized. Now, let me mention the issue of Ephesus very quickly because of our time. Ephesus, and I have come to agree that the book of Ephesians was not to Ephesus directly. It was to all the churches in the same axis, but Ephesus adopted it. So I used to say that Ephesus was the most mature church. So that's why Paul wrote that letter to him. But last few years, I've dumped that understanding because Ephesus was where he sent Timothy. Because that some should teach no other doctrine. Acts 20, verse 29. Hope you are learning something. So, there's nothing new that happens now that didn't happen in that era. Acts 20, 29. Paul is talking to the church in Ephesus. After telling them in 20, he had kept back nothing that was profitable to them. He taught them house to house and publicly. In verse 31, he says, I cease not to warn you night and day. But in verse 29, he says, for I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in amongst the flock, not sparing the flock, because he was leaving for another city. And also of your own selves, men that were chosen by the Holy Ghost, shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw disciples after them. Which means it is also possible for people to have been in leadership in a local church, then they go astray. This happened in Ephesus. These are people in 28, Paul says that they were chosen by the Holy Ghost. You can have people today teach the word and depart the next time. It's not a strange thing. And he says they will draw disciples after themselves. And this is why some people don't detect when someone has gone astray. Because the person will convince you, no, I only did a change. I know what I'm doing. I'm getting wiser. No, the person has actually backslid. And Paul is pointing this out in Ephesus that this can happen even to those who were chosen by the Holy Ghost. So in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he had to send Timothy to Ephesus. 1 Timothy chapter 1, are you with me? Come on guys, are you with me? 1 Timothy 1 and 3. I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went unto Macedonia, that thou mayest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So Ephesus had become a model of those who were contending for the word, but suddenly there was a change. In the letters to the seven churches, Revelation 2, you find Ephesus was the first one. What was the issue there? Remember where you are falling, verse 5. You have left your first love, proton agape. You have left the things Paul taught you. You have left it. You have gone into all sorts of things.
You have embraced a materialistic gospel, trying to teach it as the goodness of God. Some guys do that. You fail to identify what Paul identified, Jesus identified, that material resources are in the hands of men. It's so simple. You are trying to link it to the Spirit, to the anointing, to grace, to glory, to us, to giving. He says, go back to your first love. Remember where you are falling. And if you discover very well Ephesus, he spoke to the leaders. He called them the stars and all of that, the assembly of the saints. So you can have the Ephesus example. Those who initially embraced the word and in the full purity of it, or pressures of life, or the need for influence, they have departed from it. The Ephesus example is there. And Paul warns. Don't forget, these are churches that Paul founded, or people he knew founded. So, you ask yourself, what am I modeling? Am I modeling the Corinthian brothers? The Corinthian people? Am I modeling those kind of believers who have different influences? Am I modeling the Colossae example who have, you know, different sources of knowledge? Or am I modeling the Ephesians example who departed from the world to have influence? These are things that can arise in local churches. And the essence of the letters is to have a oneness of judgment. So when correction is made like that, it's to let you know that we don't do variety here. Letters are written so you know that, no. It's not about being objective. We are already subjective to God's word. So Paul writes those things to put everybody on the same lane. Scriptures do not teach us multiple opinions about scriptures. Not at all. So you have the Corinthian model, the Colossian model, we have the Ephesus model. Let's get back to Colossae. Where Paul, in the same letter, identifies two brethren in church. Now turn to the person beside you and say, pay attention now. Say it again, please. Now in verse 12, Paul identifies in 12 and 17 two kinds of men in the same church. And this is really our teaching, really. He says to Epaphras, which is one of you, a servant of Christ, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Now, before he got here, in verse 7, he says, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant of the Lord. Now, look up and listen to this. You know, these letters are read publicly. So why would Paul be using these adjectives? He wants us to see these men as our examples. There are people who will be used by church leadership clearly to you as examples. I used to ask some of you. There was somebody who chatted me up. He belongs to one of the campus fellowships in church. Somewhere around Nigeria. I don't want to mention the place. I don't embarrass the brother. He said, good morning, Rabbi. So, I'll normally respond. Because some people call me those kind of names. It's not a problem. Those who are not even Christians call me nicknames. There are some that still call me my old nickname. You don't know what it is? Who knows my nickname? You know, so people call me those names and I don't have a problem with it. Rabbi. You know, I know rabbis are Jews. You know, if you say Allah Gemo, I understand Mijabu, so I get it. So when he said that, he now said, I attend this scripture. I said, what? And you, is there anybody who taught you to call your pastor rabbi? Arabani. He said, I'm sorry, sir. I said, no. That means you are listening to other people. You watch your own pastors. How do they talk? That is how to know you are consistent and stable. How do they comport? Look at how do they dress? I told someone, one of my friends who came to speak for us, who came to one of our meetings, and I said, did you notice how our own pastors dress for this convention? He said, yes. Why not do that if you say you follow? You think they did it as led by the Spirit? No. It's a training. Say, can you call me Rabbi? Just say Eba. Others can say that. Not you. I am your pastor. They have a right to say that. And it's fine. Praise God. Though I'm not a teacher, I've told you before. Praise the Lord. I can let the teachers in the body of Christ. Apostolic ones, prophetic ones, evangelistic ones. To the glory of God. So understand that. Don't go and hear you are being influenced negatively when you do that. Or otherwise, maybe not negatively. So, why would Paul mark people out? He wants you to know the people to follow. And so, it also becomes vital that we become such examples in the church. He says, this guy is a beloved brother. He says, a faithful minister. You know, a faithful minister is not your right in Christ. Are you aware of that? A faithful minister is an adjective of a Christian. Ah, no, that brother is faithful. He's a faithful person. Look at the next thing he says. Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that I may know your estate and comfort your hearts. I want to say this to you. If your pastors or your leaders have said spoken things well about you, don't change you. Reverend George Adeboye said something to us, 1994 Rema Convention, here at Casino Cinema. I will never forget what he said. He said, the moment your pastor says that about you, he has set you up. You cannot afford to be a bad example. You have to do your best with it. And I have told you many times, faithfulness is not what you used to do. It's what you still do. Are you learning something? That's why I said to some of the ushers one time, I said, when you speak rudely to people, you didn't learn it from me or your pastors. It's not possible. Because we don't do that to people. One time like that, someone was saying, you know, some people are abusing some men of God in Nigeria. They came to follow you. I said, mention one member of Saints Community Church. He said, there's none. So if those who listen to me every week don't go to the media to do that, then those other people have what they are following, not me. Say they don't. I teach them to respect people well, in spite of what they don't believe. There's no one I teach here that becomes rude. You can't be rude. Look at the content of what we teach. How can you be rude? But when you have multiple influences, you will take what I have taught you, express it through what somebody has done. That's not me. I have people who I relate with, who are Methodists, Baptists, white garments, teased, many. Sometimes I can listen to some of us for a year and not say a word. And the person is sharing doctrine and I won't say anything until one day. Sometimes it's to listen well to what he's saying. You cannot learn from me and be in a hurry. I hope that is clear. No, it's not possible. Multiple influences create people having double identities. There was someone who was brought to me one time and had a problem. I just said something straight. I said,
you are listening to some things. He said, no, not exactly. I said, no, you are. This is not a product of what I teach. I know. If I teach you, you won't do this. She admitted, yes. See, it's not a product. I know what I teach you. And I know what you should do based on what I teach you. It's not this. So, Paul says, this brother is faithful. He has been like that to me. I'm sure he will be like that to others. With Onesimus, verse 9, a faithful and beloved brother. Look at these words. Faithful. Who is one of you? They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Tacitus, my fellow prisoner, salutes you, and Marcus, sister, son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandment, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justus, who have circumcised, they only are my fellow workers in the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Hallelujah. Ask the person beside you, how does your pastor speak of you? So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's what God says about me. Shut up! Is God a member of your church? Say they don't have good manners. Say they don't like you. No, you don't have good behavior. How can your pastor be saying, brother, when are you going to change? Pastor, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Yet, when your guy in your office says, what is going on here? Sir, I'm going to change immediately, sir. It won't happen again. That's what you tell your boss who pays your salary for church. I'm working. Pray for me. Pray for me. You are not okay. Oh. You have the Holy Ghost. Say, sir, I take that correction. With a contrite heart, I'll make adjustments immediately. What do they say about you? Are you faithful? Paul repeats it. Faithful. Somebody who is consistent. How can you be coming to church late? Whoever is your direct pastor cannot be happy with you. I know. The person just see you like this and say, they have just sinned. Bah, what's wrong with this brother? As soon as it's time for prayer rally, you will know how to send text. There was someone I called. I said, if I check my phone, if I want to search your name in my SMS, I'll just type sorry. The moment I type sorry, you know, just like Google, the first page is you. I said, the way I'm looking at you, you won't last, though, in ministry. Our pastor, no, don't say that, sir. Our pastor, it has come to pass. It's not evil speaking. I said, if I just type sorry, just sorry. Break the curse. The curse of sorry. Be faithful. Can your pastor say, that brother is a new convert? That sister is a new convert. Ensure the person is growing spiritually. Can they say that to you? You're going to say, they said you want to grow. Try and grow. Me too, I'm trying. No. Say he's a faithful brother. Hallelujah. In the same church. Where some are being beguiled. Some are being deceived. Some are faithful. Some are faithful. Let's continue. Then the key thing is verse 12. Epaphras, which is one of you. Look at that statement, one of you. Someone say one of us. That means he's just like you. A member of Mushin's own. A member of Suleri's own. One of you. Says, a servant of Christ. Look at this description. I don't think you... Are you reading with me? You know, when you start calling believers, is a servant of Christ. He didn't say a believer, a servant of Christ. Someone you can see that this one is serving Christ. A servant of Christ. One who is a doulos in the Greek. Just like Jesus was called a servant. This brother is a servant. You see, our models in this church are not the glamorous ones. Our models are not the ones who have the best cars. Nothing wrong in it. I like good cars myself. Our models are not the ones who are elderly or young or pretty. Men who are pretty, women who are handsome. Sorry, the other way around. Our models are not those who speak good English. Hi, hello, hi. No! They are servants of God. No matter their social status, their age, or where they have come from, even if they cannot speak good and great grammar, our models are those who are serving. When you discover what some people do to ensure that the word of God grows, that you are comfortable in the service, when you see those models who live what they are doing and that they are serving, sometimes during the day, then you see Christians that you emulate. A servant of Christ. A servant of Christ. In the local assembly. A servant of Christ. What does he do? Always laboring. Hallelujah. Not that you see him in one prayer meeting, he doesn't come for the next one. Always laboring. Always laboring. And Paul uses the word here. The word to agonize. Agonizomai. Always laboring. I forgot to give you the Greek word here. When he says one of you, is the word OX HYMON. I'll tell you what it means in the Greek. It means it's out of, he has come out from amongst you. It means it's distinct. It's distinct. Always laboring. Agonizomai. A word you find in Luke 13:24 and John 18:36 means to fight. To fight, to wage war. 1 Corinthians 9:25, Colossians 1:28, to wage war. 1 Timothy 4:10. 1 Timothy 6:12, 2 Timothy 4:7. Take it again. Luke 13:24, John 18:36, 1 Corinthians 9:25, Colossians 1:29, 1 Timothy 4:10, 1 Timothy 6:12, 2 Timothy 4:7. Always agonizing, fighting. He's not fighting for money. He's not fighting the pastor over a lady or a brother he wants to marry or she wants to marry. No! Not fighting that day. They didn't treat me well. No! Those are not the examples! No. Always complaining and not happy with what the pastor said, what some brethren did. No, no. Those are not your examples. Those are the bad examples. Some of us like to, they like the company of people who complain. Ah, I don't know. What kind of person are you? I remember years back, my friend and myself, a friend of mine, were attending a church service. I wasn't the pastor of the church. So I used to attend because the ministry I was pastoring, we used to meet in the evenings on Sundays. So I'll go to another church Sunday mornings. So the pastor rebuked the keyboardist, right in front of all of us and some other pastors under him. That day was a hot service. You know, there are some that are hot. Not the atmosphere, the words. Very hot. That when they told us to sing, we sang in sobriety. Hallelujah. Jesus died for me. If you say Jesus died, you are in trouble. Because he told us, as you are going up, go home in peace. Everyone just going home. He said, last week I saw some of you. After the sermon, you were hugging yourself. If I see, Everyone just said, husband and wife went separate ways. We'll see at home. You know, those are kind of, those services happen. So the brother came to my house in the evening before our service. He said, Emojiano. He said, what was the man of God moving? I said, which man of God? He said, are we not in the service? I said, Oga. Take your course and the demons you came with and go to that door now. What's my own? I'm not in charge of that congregation. And more so, the correction he gave, I've learned from it. How he did it is his business. What he did is what is important. You know, there are people, I'll talk about this next week, who try to be different from the pastor. maybe the pastor is straight and is struck straight and sharp. You now say, they now want to say in another way, so a loving way. They don't love you. That person does not love you. The way Jesus talks, he talks straight. And when he hits you, no matter where he hits you, you take it like that. And you adjust. Such is the kingdom of God. Paul says, they are desirous of you, showing affection. He said, but it is not good for you. Because some people will come to Corinth and Galatia, and you start to talk to them in a different tone, that don't mind him, it's too hard. Paul says, that zeal is not good for you. They are trying to sweet tongue you. They are trying to say nice things to you, so you feel loved. Not for them, they just want to win you over. He said that in Romans, he said it in Galatians, and also in Corinth. Take note of that. So, they are brethren like that. But we have Epaphras, who is fighting. What's he fighting with? Prayers. Always praying. Praying for you. That you may be perfect. Telios, grow up. Complete. Fully assured in the will of God. Plerophoneo. Plerophoreo. Where you are fully convinced. Luke 1:1, Romans 4:21, Romans 14:5, and 2 Timothy 4:5 and 17. Fully assured. Luke 1:1, Romans 4:21, Romans 14:5, 2 Timothy 4:5 and 17. Look at verse 13. Let's take verse 13 together. Let's go. For I bear record. Let's go, come on. For I bear record. We record that he has a great zeal for you. And them that are loud this year, and them, he has zeal. I like the word zeal here. Is a word pono, P-O-N-O-N in the Greek. It means distress, toil, pain, concern, distress. Who are those who are examples in the congregation? Those who are always concerned about our spiritual growth. Not someone who's always asking, have you eaten? Have you eaten? Every time, have you eaten? Are you going to be food? Sometimes it's just to win you over. It's not wrong to ask, have you eaten? But what is vital is not just, have you eaten? Have you prayed? Have you studied the word? Are you living the word? He says he's always concerned. He's in distress. What an example. So in a congregation, we'll have Onesimus. We'll have Tychicus. We'll have Justus. We're going to have precisely Epaphras, who we can point to. He's there. Well, we have believers' convention, camp meeting. Epaphras will take 4 days off work to prepare, to get things ready. Well, we're watching just conference. Epaphras won't give excuses. When it's time to give, Epaphras is faithful. Tychicus is faithful. When it comes to prayer group meetings, they're there on time. Epaphras. Same brother, it's believed by many scholars that it is the same Epaphroditus that nearly died in Philippi. Says he didn't have concern for himself. He just threw caution to the wind. Sometimes you see some of your pastors after work, and they walk. Say, Pastor, was it yesterday Pastor Jesus was telling me? He said, I just want to find somewhere to just put my head. I said, where? He said, I don't know. He said, let me just look for one hostel somewhere in the university. You know when he left university? Because he was going for evangelism. That's a faithful person. I was sure he was having pains. But he knows me. When I came to your school to teach you over 15 years ago, I told them after. I told them over a weekend, I told them I had headache throughout. So he dares not take excuse. Go and rest. Continue. When you're done, then go and rest again. But the work must not stop. Epaphras, which is one of you. Agonizing. Feeling pains. So he said, "Pastor, after believer's confession, will you take leave?" I said, "No, I don't take leave. Oh. If I take leave, a few hours, and in those hours, I'm studying and praying for the next walk." That's what I mean. Skiing. I'm skiing in Latvia. Oh, skiing. Hey, say, body less, rest, profit little. Let's take the little. I used to rest with Arsenal games until recently. The fact. I think it's the other way around now. It's more of my yoke is heavy and my body is too heavy. But don't worry. We are praying about it. At least our enemies cried yesterday. And may their crying continue. Amen. Are you my enemy? What do you know I'm talking about? Anyway, you know, so he says he labors. He says, "Ah, so we're praying. When are we starting? 6? When are we 9? Ah! What now? For what?" But the person who watched a 2-hour movie, I said, "Is that all? Just finish quickly. Ah! I'm going to watch part 2. Fiction. You watch a football game, 45 minutes each half, watch the commentary, then watch it being played all over again. Have you ever discovered that when people say they are sleeping in prayer meetings and they are tired, after the prayer meeting, there's just an anointing? At least it wasn't Bishop Medical said a couple of days ago. He said, Gehazi, when Gehazi told Elisha, that when he asked him, when he said, "Ah, so my father has left Naaman to go," he said, the way he said it made me laugh. He said, Gehazi ran and he met up a chariot. Something that on a normal day, he said there must have been an evil spirit that entered his legs. I started laughing. That is, you just be using your strength for something else. The same thing you do use for prayer. That's extreme. Did you not go for, what do you call, endurance check in NYSC? And you are happy? Help me. And you did it. You even climbed tree. And you are not monkey. You took picture. You say, "Let us pray." You'll be posing. It's calamity that is your problem. Epaphras, which is one of you? Which one? Are you an Epaphras here? Are you a Tychicus? Are you a Justus? Are you an Onesimus? Ah, that sister is faithful. Then there's somebody else. Verse 17. Who is the title of this teaching? Archippus. Verse 17. Are you here? Say to Archippus. Now listen to what I'm about to say here. This is the core issue we are dealing with. You know, he's talking to the whole church that we should take notice of a brother. Archippus. This is a public letter. Which means that as believers in a local church, we must not be careless not to notice the spiritual lives of members around us. As we have taken notice of those who are faithful, same way, we should take note of those who have stopped being faithful. It says, "Say to Archippus." So we have two kinds of men in Colossae. Notice that this letter is supposed to be read publicly. In verse 15 or verse 16. When this epistle, look at it, is read among you, cause it's also read that which is in the church of Laodicea, and you will likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. The word "read" there is anagilosko, where they read it loud. That means the next time we gather, as Archippus enters through the door, every member will say, Brother Kipos, how far? Nobody will say, I like your shirt. Our can I be eek? I like your car. Mr. Laika. Say to Archippus. Archippus cannot be comfortable around you. Except you are also a cold-hearted Christian like he is. Say to Archippus. Don't ask out. At least not yet. Don't say yes to his proposal. Don't do business yet. Say to Archippus. The whole church. And this is it. When it comes to church discipline, what often confuses people is when your church, your pastor, says something about someone. Rather than, this is not, I'm not talking about someone who's out of beef. We don't do that here. An instruction from God's word. Then, you have another opinion. You say, I understand what pastor says. I understand you too. You are not okay. Say together at the church to Archippus. Everybody must have the same mindset about an unfaithful brother. I close from here. Say to Archippus. The ministry that you have received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. How many of you can see it? Archippus wasn't faithful. Let me see your hand. Can you see it? Let me see how you see it. He said that he should fulfill it. Archippus is now about business deals. He talks more about football. Archippus, now we used to see him handle materials. And he's doing study group assignments. Now we have novels, magazines. Archippus doesn't go for evangelism again, but it comes for pastor's appreciation. You see him in birthday parties and weddings. Archippus? No. When we were in College of Medicine, when we were in the Polytechnic College of Education, I know you now. In fact, your prayer life used to make me feel like a sinner. I met a brother who was an inspiration for me earlier on in prayer. When that brother is praying, even when you are tired, you just be moving your mouth. Even if you are tired, you just know this. You just feel like, if I don't pray, I'll miss heaven. So I saw him this year. I said, he had even become a celeb priest. He said, it's life. I said, it's not life, it's you. What happened to you? So he told me about his circumstances. I said, no. Faithfulness is in spite and despite. I said, do you know the kind of example you were to me? Interestingly, he had acquired a status that was very, very attractive. I won't mention it so that you know what I'm talking about. Very attractive. So I said, I'm not moved by this. I remember how you made us pray. I said, I remember the day that you and I went to Christian Video Net and we got this teaching. And I mentioned the house address in Suruleri. I said, and as we were praying, we got into burdens. It was around 11 a.m. And I couldn't leave your house. It was about 9 p.m. at night. That's what I remember of you. Until I see that, I will never let you rest. Say to Archippus. Say to him. All we are seeing about you is now makeup. Your makeup is so perfect. Even after prayer meeting, it's still perfect. That's Archippus, woman. Say to Archippus, let's see a history of Archippus. What kind of person was he? Philemon 2, Paul mentioned his name. Philemon. To our beloved Archippus. Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier. The soldier getting tired. He now talks more about money, about his children. You know, he talks about business. Nothing evil about those things. Relationships, gossip, gist, Archippus is no longer talking about disciples, prayer, giving, the move of the Holy Ghost, consecration. Archippus has to fulfill what Jesus has given him. And the way he's going to do it is when you and I see Archippus as someone we should never be comfortable with if he's not fulfilling the ministry of Jesus. Since Community Church, I challenge you to become an Epaphras. I challenge you to be a Tychicus. Since Community Church, I challenge you to be Justus. To be that Timothy, that Titus. I challenge you to be able to look into Archippus' face and say, brother, no. That's not the you. You brought me to this church. Why you brought me here was because you were fervent. I saw how you were in the prayer groups. You were fervent in the study groups. Something is wrong. You have missed all the assignments in this month. You are no longer attending prayer meetings. No! Fulfill the ministry of Jesus. I know you have a new job. I know you now, you are married, you have kids, but that's not the ministry of Jesus. That has nothing to do with faithfulness. I know you have traveled out of the country 5 times. I know you even look bigger, fresher, but that is not the faithfulness of believers. Archippus. It's time to sit up. And that can be achieved when we all together as a church do the word. Hallelujah. We'll continue next week. Stand to your feet. Let's bless the Lord.